So our opening question this morning is, did you catch lightning bugs? Oh, sorry, fireflies in Texas. Did you catch fireflies when you were a kid?
Uh-huh.
And did you do so destructively or constructively?
I'm not really sure how to construct all of that, but I'm pretty sure both, but it's not did. I still do.
You still do. And I do too, yeah. Honestly. And thank you for saying that, because
yeah, I'm
do
not
also.
Embarrassed.
But the reason I bring it up is because there's a person in our congregation who shall remain nameless, but his initials are Joseph A.
Yeah, yeah.
And he said that he
does
used
his
to,
last name rhyme with Usi?
Something like that.
Okay.
And he said that he used to catch fireflies when he was a kid with a baseball bat. And yeah. I said, are you kidding me? He said, yeah, we would just make a huge glow stick out of the baseball bat.
Yeah, I don't really want to speak to any of that. We'll just leave it to him. But yeah, to this
I'm distressed.
Day, I really like to catch the fireflies with my kids. And yeah.
And in case you're wondering what all this is about, you'll find out in just a moment.
You're about to be hemmed in.
Welcome to Rabbit Trails, where we explore Sunday's sermon for deeper theological connections and wider life applications, because you just can't say it all on Sunday.
Rabbit Trails, a ministry of Radiant Church in Austin, Texas. Today, we're discussing the sermon from Sunday, July 15th, 2018. You can listen to the sermon by visiting radiantaustin.com. I'm Brian Payne.
I'm Andy Snyder.
The preacher.
And the prof. So, of course, The firefly analogy comes from Psalm 139, where he says, you hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. This beautiful picture of God being with us all the time. And when he is with us, he is not just sort of coexisting in the same space. He actually is caring for us. He is in relationship. And man, there's so many rabbit trails that we could take on this. We were sitting here for just like 5 minutes talking about it before we hit record. And we were starting to list out all of these questions that come up when we start thinking about God being with us. But it's important to sort of recap at the beginning that God is never, you don't ever just find God somewhere. God is with you, and he is in relationship with every person on the planet. God doesn't just hang out. He is either present to bless or present to judge. And so for the Christian, that's good news, right?
Yes,
because
that's great
he
news.
Is with me. Except, you know, if I'm a Christian and I'm kind of living, I'm kind of harboring this sinful habit in my life, whatever it might be, or there's something about me that just, you know, dishonors Christ. And he said something funny a minute ago. You said, too wonderful. He says, such knowledge is too terrible for me. The fact that he knows everything that I'm thinking.
Yeah, that first section, when you think about it, he knows everything.
Yeah.
Before you've even said it, there are no secrets. There is nothing hidden of your life that he doesn't know. Every thought, every attitude. Yeah, I mean, that last part says, it's too wonderful for me. I'm like, that's too terrible. That's really freaky and scary, because all of my thoughts and all of my attitudes and all of my actions and words are not beautiful and unfortunately not Christ exalting, you know?
Yeah.
And that's why when I read that, I'm like, that's only too wonderful for me. That's only good news because of Christ.
Yes. Yes.
Right? Like in Christ, to know that I am washed, I am cleansed, I'm forgiven. When I come to him with these things, that he covers me. But the thing that becomes too wonderful for me is, since the day we were born, we have had within us the desire to be accepted by others, and so we all play a game. We convince ourselves, like, you know, that we're a certain kind of person. We act a certain way. We dress a certain way, and we want to convince people of all these things because we want them to accept us, right? Mm-hmm. And there's certain things that we have to keep them from knowing, right?
Yeah.
Because if they knew, like, that I still sleep in, you know, my Smurfs pajamas, you know, and I'm in fourth grade, I still suck my thumb at night, like, whatever, oh, my gosh, I'd lose all my friends. Now,
right.
We can make fun of it a little kid age, but we know what still exists in our lives,
of
right?
Of course, of course.
Which is why when I sold cars, I was always blown away, like, you're writing out the application and you realize, wait, so your home mortgage or rent is like $500 a month and you are applying to get a vehicle that's $750 a month.
Yeah.
Right. Which just goes back to it. Even as adults, Well, it's because everybody sees me in my car.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want them to come to my house. Anyway, okay. So you go down all that, and all of it is to cover these things. We want to be accepted. And all of a sudden, there's this reality that the one who knows every minute detail loves me, cares about me, and is with me.
And see, I agree. I think that's why David embraces it the way that he does. He knows that he's not perfect.
Yeah.
He knows that he still sins. But at the end, he says, search me and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, my anxious thoughts, whatever, and see if there be any painful or idolatrous way in me, and lead me in the old paths, lead me in the ancient way. He's embracing God's presence with him, saying, yes, purify me now because you're with me all the time.
Yeah, and he wasn't lost to the fact that God was on the rooftop with him as he started his saga of disaster.
Yes.
With Bathsheba, and it just continued. And so, yeah, but when I look at that again, I can only say that's too wonderful because of Christ. Otherwise,
right,
I'm toast, right? But because of that, I mean, the encouragement for all of us today is then that allows me to open up and really walk in the light, because the one who knows me, who is light, loves me, cares for me, he's with me, and it's too wonderful for me. I don't have to play this game the world plays anymore.
Right.
I mean, that you take that into the church, into small group, into your family, you're like, we all still have the tendency to try to put on a front. And I love that when people come to our church, they say, like, one of the first things, I just feel like people are very real and down to earth. Like, yes, because I believe it's this truth. This is the truth that helps people to really open up. It's like, hey, if God knows every last detail and he loves me, that's pretty wonderful. I don't have to be so concerned about what you know.
Exactly. That's exactly right.
So what do you want to know?
So, right. So, well, let's tell them everything right here.
Right now.
On Rabbit Trails. All four people
listen
every week.
Tell them right now exactly what you're thinking about me.
Here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking, how do we move on to the next Rabbit Trail so that we do more than one topic this morning, because there's so many good questions that surround this.
Yeah.
So here's one.
And at what point, as I was speaking, did you think he's going too long right now? Tell them. The Lord knows.
The Lord knows?
He's here right now, and he knows when you thought that.
So the Lord knows then that I actually didn't think that. He knows.
He knows.
And I'm totally honest.
All right.
So, since we're on the question of Jesus is with me, because this is all still good news in Christ.
Yes.
If Jesus is with you, how can it be? Here's a little theological musing for you.
Musings.
How in the world can it be if Jesus still has a body, right? Because he ascended into heaven as a human, as God in the flesh, right? I mean, even after he rose from the dead, he still had a body. He appeared to his disciples. They touched him. He ate food. So
we saw the nail holes.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So how is it that Jesus can be everywhere at the same time if he still has a body?
He has a ton of elasticity.
He's very,
very stretchy.
Okay.
Or
this is the greatest theological. This is some good Christology happening.
How does he fit in my heart?
It's because, very stretchy.
You know, back when I was a kid, I asked him into my heart, and he moved in there. Like, how does my heart contain such a figure?
Oh my.
No, I love this because I remember wrestling with this many years ago. Like, wait, how is he everywhere? And I find people can have different issues because sometimes, that's easy because he's spirit. Right? And he's everywhere. And you're like, wait, is he? No. And you realize, biblically, no, he's not spirit. Jesus still has human flesh. He's still the God-man. As you just said, they saw it, but then he ascended to heaven with a body. He'll return with the body. Yeah. But even in Hebrews, he's still the intermediary, like, between God and man. He still has to be the God-man to fill the gap.
Yeah.
Right? So then back to your question, all right, if he isn't spirit, then what is it? And, well, I mean, I don't know. That's where I quit. Like, what is it, Prof?
Oh, you just stop with the question mark. Is that it?
I mean, but you agree, like, he's still human flesh.
I agree that he is glorified humanity.
Yes.
The word glorified here is super important because this is what gives us hope that we also will be glorified like him.
Yes.
So we tend to overthink this a little bit because we want to make sure that, you know, we Actually, I don't want to go down that rabbit trail. We overthink it, turn around, and go back to the main rabbit trail. Mm-hmm. Jesus is present as the Holy Spirit. That's the simple truth of it.
The Spirit of Christ, as it says.
Yeah, in Romans 8, within a matter of several verses, Paul calls the Holy Spirit the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of Christ.
Yes.
And he talks about how the Spirit of Christ is in you.
Yes.
So it's not, don't overthink it. God is present.
We try to divide the Trinity too much. We try to parse it all down. Like, well, wait, Jesus said he would be with me. Wait, and it's just the Spirit. Like, yes, that's him.
Yeah.
Like, right? Like, they are one. But I think you see that even in the Ascension, like, or in Matthew 28, all authority has been given to me. And he says, and I will be with you always.
Yeah.
Right. But then he tells the disciples, stay here, and I'm going to send the Spirit, which is his presence.
Yeah. Right. And the Spirit takes the place of the presence of Jesus, the physical presence of Jesus. So, we try to multiply things too much within the Trinity, but within the Trinity there is an order of function. There is a distinction of functions, but it's not wrong to say that the presence of God with us, the Holy Spirit, is the Spirit of Christ, and that's the fulfillment of Jesus' promise that He would remain with us always. If you want to see a little more of a discussion about that, there's this wonderful theological book about the doctrine of the Holy Spirit by Sinclair Ferguson. Mm-hmm. This is the book by Sinclair Ferguson that nobody knows about.
Yep,
and there's a great discussion of it in there.
Those of us who really like his books, we just call him Fergie.
Except I think of someone else when you say Fergie.
Yeah.
So before we
pick up Fergie's
go any further,
book on the Trinity,
I'm sure he would appreciate that.
Wouldn't even know what we're talking about.
He wouldn't, of course. All right. So now a serious question, because when we think of God
serious
being with
or
us,
a series of questions.
It could turn into that.
Okay.
But what I said was serious.
Yes.
Serious question here.
Okay.
That comes from, and we've all had this experience to some degree, where God just doesn't feel present.
Yes.
All right. I know the Bible says that God is with me, but right now I feel so far away from Him, or He feels so far away from me. There are even psalms where the psalmist says that, right? How you're so far. Don't be so far away. Mm. So let's help people wrestle with that, because I know that that during this sermon there were people sitting there thinking, it's really nice for that other people are feeling the presence of God, but I don't feel it right now. Or to put an even sharper point on it, if God was with me, you know, when I was 13 and I was sexually assaulted by—
And you're telling me He was there with me.
And you're saying that God was with me? So how in the world can I think about this?
Yeah.
Right? So let's talk about—
There's different levels of trouble there of what you're trying to process. But the that first one where he feels distant, you know, we take jabs at the whole feelings thing because we live in a feelings culture. But yeah, we've been very open. Like, we're not anti-feelings. It's trying to get those in the right place. And Scripture doesn't avoid it. And so you're right. The psalmist talks about God's presence in a way that oftentimes is how he feels. You feel distant. And I think a lot of times when you look at it, it's because of what is circumstantially happening, right? So when difficult times come, I'm looking going, God doesn't feel very near, because if God was really present here, then these things would change.
Yes.
Which I think is what leads to your next thing, which is the more difficult, the more evil or wicked the thing is that's happening to me or around me.
Yes.
The more distant that God feels.
Yeah.
Because this is so anti who God is, right? So that thing that, you know, you said the 13-year-old and they experience rape, like, that is so polemic to who God is, right?
Right.
That it's like, how could He be near?
Right.
So the feelings are, like, we get that.
So stop. So pause for just a moment and just think theologically for a minute. This now applies, this simple question. Where was God when this happened to me? All right, so that question applies to every evil thing that ever happens anywhere in the world,
yes.
Right? Even if it's take a natural disaster, right? An earthquake, a tsunami, a volcanic eruption that kills hundreds or thousands of people. So how do we reconcile?
People say this privately, you know, their own personal lives. Where was he when this?
Yeah.
But you know the time I remember when you were just talking about that, that I believe the in my lifetime was the most people saying, asking that question at the same time was after 9/11.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You had people on the news. You had people around the water cooler. I mean, it was that question was happening. Where was God when this happened?
Yeah. Yeah. That's a natural question for us to ask. I think, and what I think of when I think of that is I think of two things. I think of 9/11, and I think of the Indonesian tsunami in, what was it, 2004, where over 200,000 people, I believe, was passed away. One of my favorite theologians, John Feinberg, has written a book that's very practical, and that's the title of it, Where is God? And I think that dealing with the omnipresence of God the way we did this week is an opportunity for us to encourage people. So what would you say
to
encourage others?
That you should buy that book.
Yeah, well, sadly, it is out of print. I think maybe you can get it in Kindle, but you could probably get it used somewhere. But it's an awesome book, and like so many of the best theology books, it's now out of print. But anyway.
Well, that goes back to a really far rabbit trail, but I would just mention that is, if it's a bestseller, a Christian book becomes a bestseller, is a good chance it really isn't that solid. Right? Because people don't really want to read solid theology books. We want to read something cute and cuddly.
No, we all want to pray the prayer of Jabez.
Hey, I think I'm going to preach on that.
Good.
Anyway, okay, so there's not an easy answer. This is one of those where now you're really getting to theodicy.
Yes.
And the problem of evil.
Mm-hmm.
And as we know, like, it just depends on what angles that you have to address this. But the biggest thing that I found for me, okay, is I have to understand, even like Job did, that things are larger than I can understand.
Yep.
There is no way that God can even explain. It's not like just that God won't explain it. It's that I don't have and you don't have the capacity that God could even explain why he did the last 5 seconds. Because you're talking about billions and trillions of interconnected things in the world going on at one time. And so that's one thing I have to remember. The other is I have to walk by faith that what God says is true is true. Right? That when God says that he loves me, that he protects me, that he cares for me, that his plan is perfect, that he is holy and sure, like all of these things, I have to root myself in those and allow that to drive me beyond the circumstance, because otherwise circumstances are going to knock me off every single time because of how many things. And I've in my own life, but you and I both know as pastors, we walk with people constantly who are going through things where it's like, God does not feel very near right now.
Right.
And that's where I have to say, but that is not true.
Yeah. You must tell yourself the truth.
Yes. He doesn't feel near. Because this doesn't seem right. Because this is, and some things, it's not just doesn't seem right. This is evil.
Mm-hmm.
And how can God allow this evil? And, you know, so on and so forth. But to say, okay, somehow, in a first of all, it is a fallen world. God didn't say, like, this is the new heavens and new earth. Everything's all perfect. Hey, it's cool, man. Enjoy it.
Right.
Like, we can hate evil. We fight against evil. And he also is destroying all of it until the end when it is perfect. But in the midst of evil still existing and wickedness and sin, I am still having to be able to trust that Romans 8 that we throw out like everything's going to be all cute. It doesn't promise any cute. But that he is the one who is working everything in a good and perfect way.
Yes.
But it's good and perfect, not in how I would design it, which is the most comfortable life.
There's the point right there. It's good and perfect according to the one, the only one who is able to define what good and perfect are.
Yeah.
And for purposes that transcend our understanding, even though we can imagine, right? I mean, we can imagine some pieces of how it is that it all fits together. We see good come from evil on a smaller scale. But God is the one who decides what is what is good and perfect in the ultimate sense. And he has ordained that in the meantime, evil happens. And during the time that evil is happening, he is revealing his justice. He is revealing his righteousness, his grace, his love. I mean, he is revealing the fullness of who he is to us in this fallen world. And we have to simply pay attention, yeah. You know, walk with him. I know, yes, there are times when he feels distant.
Yes.
That doesn't mean that he is distant. It means that, you know, I mean, Job, we keep coming back to Job lately. But, I mean, if anybody must have felt far from God, it would have been Job.
Oh, yeah.
And in the end, it was going through that helped his eyes be opened. Yes. In the end, helped his eyes be opened to the sovereign wisdom of God. Hmm. And in the end, he said, now I see you. And I repent, and I don't have to know all the answers.
Yeah.
I can trust you.
Yeah, and I trust that your purposes are best. And that's why in the Romans 8:28, the part that people don't really focus on, it's just, oh, he's going to work all things together for good. Yay.
Yeah. Well,
but it's for those who are called according to his purpose.
Right.
And so I have to say, God, your purposes are not my purposes. Your purposes are higher than my purposes. And I'm going to trust somehow, as only you can do, in the midst of this terrible stuff, that you are going to care for me and love me, and you are going to work out your purposes. And then, you know, the other side thing is, no matter how horrible things are, the part that we don't normally ask is, what if God's presence wasn't here?
Yeah, right.
What would things look like if
he removed?
What's
the alternative? Right, yeah.
I mean, it's not like, oh, well, it could get better. It would be, well, first of all, we probably just wouldn't be here.
Right.
Right. We would have already destroyed this place. We would all be gone. But God, in his kindness, in his goodness, is helping us. So, man, there's a lot of stuff here.
Many, many rabbit trails.
But thankful that God is with us. He knows everything about you today, which doesn't mean, oh, cool, to go do whatever. No, it's a beautiful thing because Christ covers it. It's too good for us. But our desire is to be known by him and to be purified, to grow in holiness. So may we be people who, like the psalmist says, like, search me, O God, and know my heart. I don't need to hide from you. You already know me. So expose it, clean it out, and help me to draw near to you because you are with me. So take confidence in that today. God is with you. He will not go anywhere. He will not leave you or forsake you. He loves you, and we love you. We're thankful for you. Hope you'll join us next week for another edition of Rabbit Trails. I'm Brian Payne.
I'm Andy Snyder.
The preacher
and the prof. Happy trails, everybody.